Now, we were talking before about preparing for overflow. Amen? Now, we're going to talk tonight about it's time for overflow. Amen? Because we didn't get to finish, so we're going to finish it with a new heading saying, it's time for overflow. Would you say it? It's time for overflow. Praise be to God. Would you turn to Romans 8? 8:28. Would you read it with me? And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. So even all of your garbage and all of your stuff can actually work to the good. All of your mistakes, all of your failures, all of your shortcomings can work to the good. Does everybody understand that? Jesus says it can all work to the good, no matter what. How many of y'all learn by your mistakes? Amen. You know, that's one of the best ways of learning. Unfortunately, I'd rather be around someone else that's making a mistake and learn from them. But, you know, we do have a tendency to learn from our own the best. Amen. Why? Because we feel the pain the most. Amen. We want to kick ourselves in the butt and go, oh, man, why can't I do that? You know. So we learn from our own mistakes the best, don't we? It says in verse 29, for whom he what? Foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whoa, that's me and you. Because he not only foreknew us, but he predestined us. To be what? To be conformed in the image and likeness of his son. Now, does his son have everything? Hello? See, people still think that you got to wear a robe. You know, when people speak about Jesus, they still look at Jesus in the Old Testament and old movies, you know, with the robes on and a long thing. Jesus is not like that no more, okay? He's up to date. You know, and he can come with you in shorts on, and you know, he can, one day I saw him dancing with sandals, praise God. So, and they weren't the Old Testament sandals, okay? Praise him. So, you know, we're going through things right now to be conformed in his image and likeness, and that's a representation of his character, isn't it? His character, his being of an association with the Father and that relationship that he had with the Father while he was here. And in that, he wants us to become just like him. But not just in the area of, you know, walking on water. Hello? Hallelujah. Not just of casting out devils. Not just of laying hands on the sick. Those are a part of his works of ministry. But then there's a part of works of life. There's a part of works in the area where he wants us to prosper. Does everybody understand? He wants us to get us to a place where things overflow. Remember, there's something he said. He said, I've come to bring you life and life abundantly. 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 And that's what we've been talking about, overflow. And it's time for overflow. But one of the areas that we must begin to look at is, wait a minute, Jesus paid the price for me and you to have everything. Now, he already had everything, didn't he? See, so this is one of the characters I really believe that is either misled or not expressed enough, that Jesus had everything. There wasn't anything he lacked. Whatever he asked, he got. That's how we're supposed to be. Overflow. Overflow. Amen? What? Whatever he asked, he received. He didn't fall short of faith. And he had everything. Nothing was withheld from him. Nothing. Of course, you know, one of the things was, he asked according to the will of God, which is a representation of the time of God. See, sometimes there's things that we're asking for that's not God's time yet. Then we think we're not getting it. But God wants to give you it. It's according to how you ask. Because if it's not his will, it's not his time. And if it's not his time, it's not his will. But see, there's people there, I'm telling you right now, there are times when you will push the hand of God and it will push it right out of the way. And the devil will come and try to replace what you were asking for, cause you to buy it, and put you in debt. Then you'll say, oh, God bless me with this, when you're struggling to try and make payments. Come on, are you getting this? See, this is where your relationship is most important. That's where that relationship is. But see, even though in those mistakes, he said things will still what? Work to the good. Why? Because he's always trying to get you out of your mistakes. I remember one day the Lord said to me, your mistakes are my problems. But they're only my problems if you stay in line with me. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Turn to Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. In verse 38. Oh, hallelujah. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Would you read it? Everybody read it. Give. Hello. Okay, praise God. What is the first word? Give. Oh. Would you say that again? Give. One more time. Give. Praise God. And it will be what? Given to you. Well, isn't that something? So, there's a lot of people who are still wanting to receive but haven't given yet. Amen. Listen, until you give your life, you don't get a life. Y'all get that? Until you give your life, you don't get a life. That means God wants us to surrender and give everything to Him. Whatever you're holding on to, you can't receive. Hello? So if you're still holding on to something, that means that there's fear of losing it, isn't there? And where there's fear, it brings goofiness. It brings deception. It doesn't bring the mind of Christ or hinder it. Remember, God gave His only begotten Son, right? For me and you. So we see that give and it will be given to you what? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over or what? Overflow. Will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. Wow. So you see that word running over means overflow. And God wants to put us in a position to we are in abundant life, which is an overflowing life, but it starts with something also, and it's called giving. And it's not just about giving money. It's about giving of your obedience, giving of your life. Giving. The Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. That's called giving. What are you doing? You're giving God your dirty laundry, and you're getting it pressed back. Hello? Light starch, please. Do you understand that? God will take your dirty laundry and clean it right up. Doesn't the Bible talk about laundry soap? Amen? Did you ever see that? It's in the scripture somewhere. You look it up. Amen? Talks about laundry and soap. Everybody's seen that before, I'm sure of it. If you haven't, you need to read your Bible more. Praise God. Glory to God. So one of the things that the Lord wants us to specifically look at is in the area of staying in position where we're constantly surrendered. Amen? Constantly surrendered. What? Because we have a tendency to try and fix every stinking thing there is. And when you try to fix it, manipulate it, and use it, it's going to come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, and running over. Hello? But it's not going to be something that you sowed good. It's but what you sowed bad. See, now the devil knows the scriptures. And he tries to get you to do the same thing. Whatever you withhold from God, God will withhold from you. In every area. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Go to Romans 4. Romans 4. Glory to God. Are you all right? Now, we have talked about some of the things that are necessary for having an overflowing life, and we talked about prepare for overflow. And one of the first one we talked about before was we must change, we must have an attitude, and change the attitude by changing our belief patterns. Amen? When you change your belief patterns, your attitude will change. You know, let me share something with you. One of the hardest things for a believer is to change. Everybody wants to stay the same. The only one that's the same, the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now it's pertaining to his promises and his faithfulness. In other words, he doesn't change. What do you mean he doesn't change? He doesn't need to change. He was here already. He's past, present, and future. There is no change in God. His promises for me and you are the same. Nothing changes. The only thing that changes is me and you. But see, sometimes people aren't willing to change. Now, overflow is a representation of success. How many of y'all want to have a successful life? Amen. Well, the only way to have a successful life is to have an overflowing life. Now, listen. Yes, we talk about prosperity, too. The Bible says, as your soul prospers, so will you. Amen. So God desires that we prosper. He said, I want to give you the kingdom. In fact, the Bible says he takes pleasure in your prosperity. Why? He doesn't want his children to be beggars. Does he? He doesn't want them to be beggars. We're supposed to be taking care of the world, not the government. The body of Christ is supposed to be taking care of the world, not the government. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, in Romans 4, is everybody there? Verse 16. Oh, praise God. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be accounted according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which are not, which do not exist, as though they what? As though they did. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced, I say fully convinced, that what he had promised, he was able to what? Perform. We've got to come to that place where your belief pattern is you believe that he is able to perform. You know why people go out into the flesh? Because they lose sight. They don't believe. You know why they're disobedient to God? Because they don't believe. In other words, believe, we know, means to follow. But because people have a tendency to do their own thing, you know why? They're not willing to change. You must be willing to change. Because if you're not willing to change, you'll miss God. God is on the move. Hello. That means you've got to change according to his move. If you're not willing to change according to his move, you'll miss God. You'll miss the blessings. You'll miss prosperity. You'll miss things. Do you understand? The things of God. God is on the move, and you've got to change to be on the move with him. Do you hear it? Amen. Now, we talked about we must have an attitude of change, and the only way to do that is to have a change of belief patterns. Amen? And the Bible says that he is the God of now. In other words, he wants to do something with you now, man. But the devil will tell you, you ain't ready yet. Hello? He'll try to tell you you're not ready yet, this, that, and whatever. God is on the move right now in your life. You are here because the Lord brought you here to receive the message from the Lord so that you begin to discern and become more sensitive to the things of God. So as He's moving, you're willing to change. Amen? That's the only way. Let me tell you something. Same thing in the carnal world. I'm going to give an example. When the stock market changes, those who know the wisdom and knowledge of the stock market don't hold on to stock if they know it ain't going to make no money. Do you understand it? They can discern. They know when the stock is up, down. They know exactly what they're doing. These men and women become wealthy because they know how to move or change. They don't get stuck with it. Are you hearing? They got it. Let me tell you, you know what brings money from stock? Getting rid of it as quick as you can. I don't put any money in the stock market anyways. I put money in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It's got eternal benefits. So we've got to also come to a place where we're constantly holding on to the promises of God by faith. Amen? And we also talked about the God is the God of today. We've got to come to a place we are really willing to live above the limitations of life. In other words, you can't allow the natural realm to affect your change. Hello? And let me tell you something. You can't allow the natural realm to establish your thought patterns, your belief patterns. You cannot allow that to happen. If you do, you will not change. Because the devil is always trying to implement patterns of life, and God is trying to implement patterns of eternal life. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. Now, let's see here. Go to Hebrews 6. Hebrew. The other thing that we talked about is making your confessions of faith, didn't we? Amen? Making confessions of faith. Hebrews chapter 6. In other words, speak the word. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord, for prosperity. Thank you. Whatever it is, you know, you begin to quote scriptures. Lord, you said give and it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Thank you. You said be a cheerful giver. Thank you. You know, you got to pray over those seeds when you give too. And you got to constantly give your life to the Lord in every area. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9, would you read it with me? But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. So what's one of the things that accompany salvation? Prosperity. Hello? Healing. Deliverance. Freedom. What's the sense in having salvation if you're bound like a gorilla? Hello? And live on this earth miserable. And, you know, there are believers that are waiting to go home because they're so miserable. They're bound. Yes, I have salvation. I can't wait to go home. I can't wait to go home, but it's not because I'm miserable. Hello? But there are people who are so miserable. There's nothing worse than a miserable Christian. Their whole purpose is salvation to get me home. I'm out of here. I don't have to do nothing again. No, that's not the way it is. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 10. For God is not unjust to what? Forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become what? Sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience, what? Inherit the promises. No, listen, I think this is the sixth thing. Isn't it? Anybody got their notes from before? There was five and this one's the sixth, right? Okay. The sixth one is do not become sluggish, lazy, or compromised. That will always prevent you from the overflow of Christ's life. In fact, let me tell you what it produces. Sluggishness and laziness and compromise will produce weariness. In Galatians 6, verse 9. What do you mean compromise? Yeah, I mean compromise this word. Don't compromise this word. Don't compromise what God has given you. Galatians chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 9 and 10. What does it say? And let us what? Not grow weary while what? Doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we what? Do not lose heart. You know how many people give up? You know what I call those? Cowards. People who give up on Christ and the will of Christ are cowards. Why? Because they're afraid of losing something. They are cowards. Even the Bible in the book of Revelation calls them cowards. Amen? Well, I just want to do it my way. No, I'm not willing to fulfill what I made a promise and covenant for. No, you know what the whole thing is? It's me, myself, and I. Me, 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 me. They are cowards. They make vows they can't complete. And God calls them not only cowards, but he calls them fools. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us what? Do good to all, and especially to those who are the household of faith. So we do not want to grow weary. Amen? Go to 2 Thessalonians 3. You know, when we stand before God, he doesn't have to say anything. You know, when you stand in God's presence and the anointing and the power of God is there very strongly, he doesn't say anything. You won't hear any words come from him, but you'll hear the words expressed from him. Are you hearing that? That's why when you're in God's presence, you get convicted. Amen? You get chastened. There's a change. There's a direction. Something's happening. Because he's expressing something. He doesn't have to speak it. He'll express it. And his eyes will show love and his face will show compassion. But in another sense, there's an area which expresses himself. And he corrects. He chastens. But see, if we're hard-hearted, the Bible says if you'll hear today what the Holy Spirit says and not harden your heart. Hello? See, it's very easy to have a hardened heart. That's all you need to do is touch that spirit, shake hands with that spirit of rebellion, and your heart will harden instantly. And then you'll have thoughts running in your mind, justification of why you shouldn't do this, justification why you, and everything is the justification of why you shouldn't do the will of God. But he's trying to bring in his will and try and convince you that what you're doing is the will of God. And then he's trying to convince you that you're hearing God, but your heart is hardened. You don't hear God when your heart is hardened. Come on, do you understand that? You can play it all day long. You can do everything. But the one thing that you must do is go and get that heart broken and humble yourself before God so you can hear. Because the worst thing you don't want to do is become deaf of the voice of God. People who become deaf of the voice of God is because their heart is hardened. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Okay, where are we at? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. But as for you, brethren, do not what? Grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person a bonehead. Note that person a what? And if anyone does not hear or obey our word in this epistle, know that person and do not what? Keep company with him that he may be what? Ashamed. Let me tell you something. Don't hang around little faith or unsubmissive individuals. Why? Because you'll become hard-hearted like they are. Come on, do you get it? You want to grow, don't you? In fact, let me tell you what's fun. You hang around a baby in Christ, and their faith is tremendous. Man, they just got touched by God. Whoa, glory! I mean, they want to go raise the dead. They want to do all kinds of stuff. You got to almost like hold them back, you know? You put two baby Christians, leash them up and put them on a buggy, and you're booking. Hello. That's why we have a good time. You know, you kidding? You not only that, there's favor with them, because God is still changing their diaper until he turns them over to you to change. So you just hang around them, man, and God's got favor on them, you know. You just grab onto those, you know, their diaper pants, and you know, you'll have to put up with a lot of stuff, but man, God's got favor on them, you know. And they have a good, I'm telling you. Oh, hallelujah. It's time for overflow. So you don't want to hang around. Hello? The Bible says do not be unevenly yoked, right? It says, you know, bad company corrupts good habits. You know, you get around somebody that says, man, you know, I remember this one guy, he had a good idea, it was cool. He had this little pen kit, you know, that you put on desks, and it had a rock on it. It was really neat looking, and it said, lest ye throw the first rock or something, you know. And I thought, well, cool, and he blessed me with them. I said, praise God, and the guy was miserable. He said, here we have this. What's the matter with you, man? Oh, man, nobody wants these. I try to get them in offices and pastors. These churches just want. Are you a believer? Yeah. Well, man, you just got to wait on God. Why don't you come on over to the house and worship? He came over to the house and sat there. Everybody else worshiped, and he just sat there. Woe is me. I thought, well, at the end of it, I thought, well, okay, praise God. It was really nice meeting you. Bye. That was it. See you. I don't want to fellowship with, you know, negativity. I don't want to fellowship with that. I'm going forward. I know my God is exceedingly abundantly far above all I could ever ask or think. Amen? But there was nothing but the guy was miserable. I still have that little rock around somewhere and a little pen set. It's quite dusty and stuff. Every time I look at it, I go, oh God. I don't think it's on my, I don't know. I think it's behind the computer now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you want to be around believers that are exciting. Amen? You want to be around believers that are on fire for God. Listen, people get so caught up in the emotional arena, whoa me, oh when, oh how, who cares? I don't care how you're feeling, fake it till you make it. Hello? I don't care, fake it, you'll make it. Hallelujah, praise God, yes, ooh. Side, you're going, oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do. Just keep praising God. Eventually, what you're praising God about is going to change you inside. Amen? Just a little varmint that just got in there. And, you know, you made a wrong turn and you opened up and gave him the combination of your lock and, you know, you got to have to get rid of him. And so that spirit of oppression comes and you just got to start praising God until he gets thrown out and doesn't know the combination again. Amen? Why? Because you're changing. You know what you're changing? The combination all the time. You know, some people are willing just to give up their combination to their heart. Hey, man, here it is. You want it? And they go in trouble and all kinds of... 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Would you read it with me? Therefore, if anyone is in what? Christ, he is a what? He's a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become... Oh, they all become what? New. Let me tell you something. You got to stop living in your past and regretting your history. Hello? You got to stop living in your past and regretting your history. Oh, man, if I would have done this then, so what? You going to change that now? No, you can't even get there, can you? But it seems that we daily, come on, how many, everybody gets the thought daily. Everybody, if I would have done this. One way or another. Why? Because yesterday's gone, isn't it? You can't make up yesterday. In fact, this morning, by the time the afternoon came, you thought, man, if I would have done this. Or maybe I could have done this. You know, maybe I should, you know. But you can't go there. It's done. Now you got to deal with what's on your table right now, because he's the God of now. What's he trying to do? Get you to change. Trying to what? Get you to change. Ooh. So you got to stop living in your past and regretting your history. In other words, circumstance, relationships, materials. You know how many times people talk about how much they lost in their past? They grieve over the material things more they lost than how they offended God. Man, you should have seen all the stuff I had. Well, you know who your God was then. Well, I don't want to boast about my past, but you should have seen all the stuff I had. He's still, there's still connection there, isn't there? There's no severance. Let me tell you, that person will work till he gets all that stuff back. But it won't be from God. Hello? Do you understand that? You do not work to catch up on your past. You work to labor unto the Lord to who you can help. When your focus is in that area, God begins to clean up everything. Why? Because now you're willing to change. But you're constantly fighting the arena where the devil's trying to keep you from changing. Are you hearing? He's trying to prevent you from change, isn't he? Go to Hebrews 10. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. Glory. You there? Verse 23, what does it say? Okay, yeah, we'll go there. Let us hold what? Fast the confession of our hope without what? Wavering, for he who promises what? He's what? Oh, hallelujah. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and what? Good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's why assembling is so important. Why? Because we get fresh manna, and we get encouraged from one another, don't we? We get encouraged. The more individuals stay away from the corporate worship and forsake assembling, the more in trouble they get. Amen? They begin to fade away. Listen, go to Proverbs 24. Hallelujah. Do you remember when computers were advancing more and more and more, and you heard many people say, oh, I'm going to just continue to do it the old-fashioned way? I didn't want to have anything to do with computers. I thought, well, I'll just continue to do my bookkeeping. Yeah, right. Whew. Hello? You know, we were just stuck with, well, I'm satisfied. Just this is good right here. Well, you're growing old and withering and mildew's growing on you and everything else is changing. And you're wondering why everybody else is prospering because you're still trying to do it the old-fashioned way. Amen? Why? God's trying to get you to change. He's the God of now, isn't he? Not the God of yesterday. Hello? Same thing with the move of the Spirit. Same thing that God is doing with the Spirit of His Spirit. His Spirit is moving in certain areas. Again, I want to share with you, as His Spirit is moving, you've got to be willing to change with the move of His Spirit. Oh, you used to be holding on to that old rugged cross. It's time to let go. Jesus is not on the cross. Hello? But some people are still holding on to the cross. I was birthed from the cross. If Daddy wanted me to hang on to the cross, he wouldn't have died for me on it. Hello? He rose from the dead. I was birthed from the cross. You understand that? That's where he paid the price for me. He said, you don't have to pay the price, son. You just go forward. I paid the price for you. Now we honor what he did, don't we? But I'm not holding on to the old rugged cross. You get too many splinters. Hallelujah. You know, we get into churches and they're still talking about the old rugged cross. I'm like, ay, ay, ay. And they talk about fly, fly away. You know, there ain't no change there, man. The old rugged cross and they're going to fly away. You know, you better let go then, you know. Proverbs 24. Verse 1. Everybody there? Do not be what? Envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. For their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Through what? Wisdom of what? Woo, through wisdom of what? A house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with what? All precious and pleasant riches. Riches. All precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. Wisdom builds a house. Rooms are filled with pleasant or precious treasures. By what? Wisdom. Because wisdom tells you what? What to do. You understand that? Knowledge is a tool. Wisdom tells you what to do with it. You got it? Now, if you're not in fellowship with the Spirit of wisdom, who's the Holy Spirit, you're going to miss what he's trying to tell you to do, isn't he? Do you notice that things, automobiles, motorcycles, all kinds of stuff change, don't they? I mean, you need different tools to work on them. There's things that are always changing. They got computers in them and all kinds of stuff. If you're not changing with it, you're not going to be able to fix it. Amen? You won't be able to do what you're called to do. It's the same thing in the Spirit. God gives us wisdom. Wisdom tells you what to do. Amen? Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, we labor what? In vain. So, understand this. Success, now you're writing this, is not inherited. Success is not inherited. It is conquered. Come on, do you get it? Success is not inherited, it is conquered. He builds the house through us with wisdom and tools. And he is successful through us. Do you get it? Because it's not you. It's Him all the way. That's why He gets all the glory. Success is not inherited. It is conquered. Do you understand that? Why? Because He's the one who's going to build a house through us with wisdom and talents in every area. He becomes successful through us. Do you get that? Why? Because He has everything, doesn't He? If He has everything and He's trying to get everything to you, but He's going to get it to you through you. Are you getting this? Listen, if you got called in to do brain surgery and you never did surgery in your life, I wouldn't want you operating on me. Why? Because you had to learn. People had to learn, didn't they? They went to school to learn things. Well, you have to go to the school of the Spirit to learn things. Then God tests you. They're not written tests. Hello? You can come through the discipleship program and ace everything and be a bonehead. Because your tests are done in the Spirit, not on paper. Amen? You can know everything that you learn in every school that you go to, but the school of the Spirit is on the job training. What He's trying to do is get you to that place. He's trying to teach you wisdom and impart things in you to become successful so that life abundant and overflow can manifest. Does everybody understand that? Praise God. Now there is character that He expects us to maintain. There is a set of ethics that He wants us to walk in every area. Because if you're claiming to be His son or His daughter, then there are ethics and character that you must constantly walk in to express who you are in His kingdom and not express what man thinks you are. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. I hope you'll get that. The Bible says that Jesus overcame, right? Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Are you all right? Are you getting this? Y'all sound a little quiet tonight, huh? First John chapter 5. And in verse 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God, what? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our what? Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now listen. The Bible also says, resist the devil. Amen. Submit to God and what? Resist the devil. You know, there are battles, aren't they? And one of the things that you must constantly resist the devil in this area are his lies. His lies that you're no good. His lies that you'll never make it. His lies that God's not faithful to complete what he started. Do you understand that? Once there is negativity in areas, you've accepted the lie of the devil. And let me tell you something. It's difficult to be joyful because you're so caught up in what you can't do, hello, or what you've done wrong instead of what he can do. Because now you're looking at what you can do. Are you with me? Praise God. The Bible tells us, overcome the world with what? Faith. And that's the eighth thing. We are going to overcome everything by what? Faith. Faith. The Word tells us that we are what? More than conquerors. Woohoo! Go to Romans 8:37. We'll give you the scripture. It's time for overflow. You got to be willing to change. That's the same thing as we ask everybody. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? You mean just today? No, for the rest of your life. Whoa, that's so long. Would you read 37? 837? Yeah, let's start at 36. That's good. Yeah. As it is written, for your sake we are what? Killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Wow. Go to Revelation. Let's go to Revelation 2. Revelation chapter 2. Now, victory comes through battle. Do you understand that? Victory comes through battle. That means you got to battle. What are you battling? You're battling against the lies. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 2, in verse 7, this is all overflow. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Are you there? Let's read it together. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In other words, you'll give to eat. In other words, there'll be abundance. Nothing will be withheld from you. And I'm talking about not only food, but I'm talking about things to eat from the throne room. Do you understand? These are things that are a fruit of overflow. Things that you're getting from the throne room. Why? You're getting fresh manna from the throne room. When you seek God, revelation knowledge is food. The Word of God is food. He says, and I will give them to eat. What are they eating from? The tree of life. Well, what's the tree of life? The Word of God. Amen? The words of God is the tree of life. Are you seeing this? That's overflow. There are three areas of overflow. And the next one is in verse 11. Go to verse 11. And you as an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall what? Not be hurt by the second death. Not be hurt. That's overflow. Overflow. You're going to get fresh manna. You get revelation knowledge, and you won't be hurt. What do you mean you won't be hurt? Well, you're going to be offended, but you're going to not allow it to hurt you. Why? Because you have overflow. There's constant overflow. Constant overflow. Overflow of what? Overflow of joy. Overflow. Ah, yeah, okay, praise God. That happened? Okay. Hallelujah. You know, see, when you're overflowing, you're constantly drunk. Praise God. Go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Hallelujah. Revelation 21 and verse 7. Ooh, good. Let's start at verse 6. And he said to me, it is done. Y'all get it. It's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to who? Him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall what? Inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my Son. But the what? The what? Oh, hallelujah. The cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual, immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Wow. So we shall inherit all things. In other words, all things is available for you. Everything that you need is available for you to prosper and to overflow. Everything is available. Do you understand that? Praise God. Now listen. We must fight the good fight of faith, don't we? Because the Bible says we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Now, I want to let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'm going to close here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, are you convinced that God wants you to have an abundant life? Are you truly convinced? We'll see. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be what? Haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who what? Gives us richly all things to what? To what? Wow. To what? Enjoy. Wow. So does God want you to have a joyful life? Now again, you can't go on to circumstances. Well, you don't know what happened to me 14 years ago, 3 days and 4 hours. No, I don't. I thank God. Because it's irrelevant right now. But what can God do for you right now is what he can do through you right now. Do you understand that? See, everybody wants everything now. I want it all now. We have a tendency to want it all now. But there are things he's going to give you right now to prepare you for getting it all. Hello? I said he's going to do it through you. Things don't come to you unless it's come through you first. Do you get it? Why? Because he wants us to cooperate with him. It's co-labor, isn't it? There's a price to pay. It's D-I-E. Real simple. Die. Die to what? Yourself. The more you're out of the way, the more God can move through you, and the more things that you can do. Amen? Because it's not you doing it. It's him. Now I want to close with one other scripture, and that's Ephesians 3:2, or 3:20. Oh, hallelujah! And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Confession brings possession. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Would you read it with me? And to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above all we could ask or think, according to the power that what? Works in us. And to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. Let the seed grow and bear fruit for your glory. You have prepared us. Now it's time. Now it's time. Help us to walk in that arena, totally submitting, yielding, surrendering, dying, and granting us the wisdom that we may utilize the things you gave us according to how and when. Lord, open the doors that are of you in our life and shut the doors that are not of you in every area. Help us to know those things and discern those things that are of you and those things that are not of you. Grant us the strength that may grab hold of you and submit to you, and the power to say no to temptation and the powers of darkness. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We love you and we exalt you. We thank you for the price of your Son and the angels that put up with us. We thank you. We honor you and we bless you. And to Jesus be all the glory. And everybody said amen.